This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Lonely Planet just got a little less lonely with Chris Zaya on Joy Drive.
And it's a little less lonely in the studio because Chris Zaya, welcome back.
Hello, how are you?
We're very well, thank you. We're excited to talk to you today because we've had some changes happening in travel, particularly with Japan.
Can I just say, when Warren says we are excited, that is an understatement.
It means Em's excited.
No, it means Warren is absolutely thrilled.
For the listeners at home, he's bouncing out of his seat at the moment. Japan, 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 Japan.
Well, I'm not sure yet because I've got to wait and hear what you've got to say.
Yeah, so very interesting. So the laws in Japan changed yesterday, actually. So they've relaxed some of their entry restrictions. And why is this important to Australians? Well, Japan was one of our number one outbound destinations for many years in the lead up to COVID. So we just absolutely loved it. And from our point of view, Lonely Planet's guidebook to Japan was the number one selling guidebook out of all products in the travel category for 3 years in a row. So this demand for content to Japan and for people going there was really, really huge pre-COVID. And it's been one of the last countries to kind of relax its restrictions in terms of travel entry. They've been very, very cautious about allowing people in. So it's been nearly 2.5 years since people have been able to freely visit. So what they've done is they're allowing people to enter as individual or independent travellers now, which is fantastic.
So not part of a tour group?
Not part of an organised tour. Prior to the 7th of September, if you wanted to visit, you had to be part of an organised tour and they watched every waking moment of where you were going and what you were doing, et cetera, et cetera. But, and there is a but,
okay.
You can only enter as an independent traveller if you have booked via a travel agent. So you need to go into a travel agency and book your flights and your accommodation and all those bits and pieces because the Japanese government want some form of tracking of that as you're entering into the system. So this, again, is a very gradual and slow reopening. So this is just another kind of like crack in the door or crack in the window, if that makes sense.
What if you've booked flights to go to Japan, say, early next year, and you book them online directly with the airline? What happens then?
So if it's early next year, I think the laws are going to change again. So this is for right now.
Okay, right. Yep.
So if you're basically wanting to go in, Warren's just went,
I've just gone white.
So again, this is this slow reopening of the territory. And I think by December or January, a lot of these restrictions will be removed. But a couple of the other things you need to know. So if you wanted to travel before the end of September or early October, so definitely you have to book through a travel agent. You have to apply for a visa of entry. So you do need to actually go through that process. It has been in place since COVID. Okay. So you need to do that. They're allowing only up to 50,000 visitors a day. So that's increased from 20,000 to 50,000. So that's why you need to apply for the visa because they're looking at the entry caps.
It seems like a lot, 50,000 per day, but how many would it have been pre all of this?
Hundreds of thousands.
Right.
Okay. So it's going to be, could be quite tight.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they're wanting to really control this experiment. The other thing is that you will need to be fully vaccinated, and fully vaccinated, they class as 3 doses.
Okay.
Additionally, they have removed the need for a negative pre-arrival COVID test. So that was something that you did have to do. You don't have to do that anymore. So that no proof of the negative COVID before getting on board. And the other big win for us as Australians is the dollar and the yen is almost at parity. So you're actually getting a really good bang for your buck when you're over there at the moment. So I would have never classed Japan as a value destination in the past, but it kind of is now, which is really interesting.
Would you recommend for someone, like someone in this studio, for example,
like Em,
that potentially is going to go to Japan to buy some yen now?
it could or preload a card.
Yeah.
Yeah, so preload one of those travel cards and actually lock in that exchange rate is a really good idea because at the moment I think it's about 93 yen to one Australian dollar. So you were almost at that point of doing the one for one.
Wow.
So when you see 200 yen, you're going to know that that's $2 to Australian dollars. So yeah, if you know what I mean. So
I mean, this is exciting news and it's very good to hear, Chris. But I mean, a lot of Australians do go over there, of course, in January and February for the ski season because it's absolutely amazing over there. So, I mean, what should we do though? Because hopefully things will change, but then there's that risk though if they don't. 50,000 capped visitors per day is not a lot, is it? And that's from every country.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And they've actually just removed a lot of, or they've taken all the restrictions of countries off. So they used to have like a blue list, a yellow list, a red list of countries, and they've removed all of that as well. So it does mean that it's a little bit of a free for all for everybody wanting to kind of go in. What I would advise is making sure, again, you have robust travel insurance. Mm-hmm. So you actually know what it is. If you can book fully flexible fares, that's the way to do it, and book any accommodation that has a very last minute cancellation fee. They're the kind of three tips. However, all of those things do tend to be more expensive up front. So just to be really, you know, transparent in that, but that's going to potentially mean if this experiment doesn't work and they just keep it in place a lot longer or they pull things back, then we just, you need to be well aware of that.
We're chatting to Chris Sayer from Lonely Planet about what's happening in the world of travel. Now, speaking of holiday destinations, my mum has actually suggested that we go to Bali over Christmas.
Now, you're excited.
Well, now I'm excited, exactly.
Is she paying?
Well, no, I don't think so. It's going to be a 50-50 split, but mum, if you're listening, Chris Sayer said you have to pay for me.
We have to look after our M.
But you might have a better suggestion than heading to Bali.
Look, I've heard a lot of horror stories about people getting in and out of Bali, not about the experience in Bali, but it's actually the transitioning in. Flights have been delayed or cancelled. Flights have been really expensive. Flights have been oversold, which is something that's very European or very American in nature, not very, very Australian. So a lot of people are finding it really difficult. And Thailand as a destination has kind of swooped in and kind of gone, we've seen all these little problems going on here. So Thai Air Asia X has just announced that in December, it's going to be flying, I believe it's four times a week out of Melbourne and Sydney into Bangkok.
Fantastic.
For as low as $299 one way.
50-50 split seems reasonable with that.
hello, mum, right? So this is a really interesting thing. So Thai Air Asia X is a kind of a conglomerate between Malaysia's Air Asia X and Thai Air Asia. They haven't really been in Australia before. So this is a first grab at, they did have one route out of Brisbane for just pre-COVID, but that closed. But this is a real grab at them in terms of getting passengers across to Bangkok and then into wider Thailand. And actually at the June data that came out of the ABS said that Thailand was actually the number 8 destination for Australians to travel to at the moment. So it's become quite popular quite quickly. It's recovered really well. And again, with these incredible deals to get over there, I find that incredibly attractive.
Are you hearing rumours about getting in and out of Thailand similar to
No, I'm
Bali?
I'm hearing that it's really organized. Slick and that they've done it very, very well. And the Thais are in a very efficient country when it comes to this stuff. And the only other thing that I'd say is that because of the tourism recovery there, the Thai baht has actually really increased in value. So you're not getting as good a deal in terms of the Australian dollar to the Thai baht, like we were talking with the Australian dollar to the Japanese yen. So you probably want to go away and do a bit of shopping around for maybe some deals on hotels and accommodation and bits and pieces and get them locked in before you go if that's what you're considering, or save on the flights and spend a bit more money on your accommodation.
I'm just thinking of Thai street food straight away.
Yum.
How beautiful. I miss it so much.
I know, right?
Oh. So delicious. Now, some of the COVID, I guess, when you have to stay at home, isolation rules, that's it, have changed. There's also some travel COVID stuff that's changed.
There certainly has. So from tomorrow, it's not going to be mandatory on flights in Australia to wear your mask anymore.
Okay.
So that is that in the airports it had been removed, but this is actually on board on flights. I will caveat this by saying health officials are still saying that in close quarters, you really need to be careful. You need to be wearing your mask, but obviously it becomes a personal choice. It's not mandated moving forward. And I'm hoping that, you know, for all our flighties that are out there that have been given so much grief from people that are having to, you know, ask people to put their masks on and stuff on the planes. I hope this takes away some of the tension for them because they've done such an amazing job over this period and it's been really tough for them. And I know that they've copped a bit. So I hope this takes away some of the tension that they have to feel on board.
You know what? I'm still going to wear a mask anyway because the last thing I want to do is pick something up on the plane, get to my destination. Yes. And be sick
for the sake
of wearing a mask.
And my other piece here is if you've got stopover places as well, this doesn't necessarily apply to all international flights, but if you're going on an international flight, who knows? Like you've got to be really up to date with if you've got a stopover in Singapore or stopover in the United Arab Emirates, you've got to be aware of those mask laws. So just because it's not necessarily internally in flights in Australia doesn't mean that applies globally. So you just, again, need to be really, really au fait and keep up to date with the varying laws in terms of where you're going.
Question without notice.
I love this segment.
I am reading so much at the moment in the news and in the papers, etc., about, you know, Jetstar and the problems that they are having and Qantas that they are having. Is that just those airlines and the Australian airlines, or is it happening to all the airlines all over the world?
I think Qantas and Jetstar is the low-cost version of Qantas have their own problems. They've got a lot of internal problems, and anyone with that, I believe it was the Four Corners report on Monday night was quite eye-opening. I would say that a lot of airlines and a lot of airports felt the same heat as travel came back, but it looks like if you use Europe as the example, they seem to have dealt with it and they seem to have repaired it and they seem to be getting on with the job.
So we're lagging.
We are. But again, we are sort of that 6 to 12 months behind in terms of opening up again. So am I surprised? Not so much. We're seeing similar kind of tensions and problems in New Zealand, for instance, in terms of what's going on at the airports there, because they are later to the party in terms of opening up again. I think we're all hitting the same problems, but just at different times. And again, I think it's about public perception as well. I think, you know, in terms of what our expectations are in terms of you should be recovered by now and you should be back to fully operational like you were pre-COVID. And I think that's a little bit unreasonable.
Yeah.
Fabulous, Chris. Great to chat with you again.
Oh, I can chat, can't I? I can ramble on.
a wealth of information, and we're excited because M can go to Bali. I can go to Japan, hopefully, if I get in that quota of 50,000. It's like a lottery.
When are you going?
Jan and Feb.
I think I'm pretty confident. I feel confident for you. I've got my confident boots on. I feel good for you. I think that you're going to be right.
Fantastic, Chris. We'll catch you again in 2 weeks' time.
Perfect. See you then.
Chris Iyer from Lonely Planet.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.